Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Georgia enacts a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
Well, Matt, you know, we're all about protecting religious freedom, and it's good to see we not only have a federal RFRA law, but now states are following suit. And here's an example where Georgia has become the 30th state to enact into law its own version of a Religious Freedom Restoration Act to protect individual religious freedoms from undue government interference. And that's what it's all about. Keep the government out of our religious freedom, right?
That's right. The law mirrors the federal RFRA, which is the acronym for the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, that was enacted in 1993 by adding a specific layer of protection in Georgia from any undue burden by state or local laws, orders, or policies that conflict with or discriminate or place a burden on religious beliefs or expression. This is good because the federal RFRA actually applies to federal government actions. And so we use the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act a lot during COVID, particularly with regards to federal employees, those that were being forced to get the COVID shot, and also especially for those in the military, because it also applies to those in the military. They have protections of religious freedom, not only under the First Amendment, but under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And we were able to prevail on all of our cases using the federal RFRA law.
Yeah, so let's talk about an example. For example, I have a bakery, okay? And then someone who is LGBTQ comes to me demanding that I make a cake for this person's so-called civil union or wedding, whatever you want to call it. And so how does this come into play in our situation if I refuse to make this person a cake?
It's a great question, because originally the RFRAs, the Religious Freedom Restoration Acts, they came into being in the 1990s. 1993 was the federal RFRA. And that came into being because Hawaii was moving towards enacting some kind of protection for same-sex unions. And the federal law was enacted to protect individuals from government forcing the same-sex unions contrary to religious beliefs. So the particular way that the laws, both federal and state RFRAs that came up after that, have been applied is that it protects individuals from the government. So if the government were telling you that you had to bake this cake or do some kind of activity that is in conflict with your religious beliefs, or the human rights authority, local or state, for example.
Like Jack Phillips is an example.
Yeah,
Colorado.
Comes after you. Yeah, that's the government coming after Jack Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a state RFRA, in addition to your First Amendment protections that you'll have, you as an individual can have that protection against the government action. The real question, however, is do these state Religious Freedom Restoration Acts apply when it's not the government per se coming after you, but it's another individual? So somebody comes into your bakery and they say, I want to have a cake for a same-sex wedding, and you say no, and they file suit against you saying that you have discriminated against them on the basis of some state or local law. The question is, can you use RFRA as a defense? And that's an unknown answer in some of these states, because some of these RFRAs are drafted solely to protect an individual from government action. And because back then, that wasn't really an issue of one person trying to force another person in the 1990s and early 2000s to bake a cake, for example.
These cultural issues have changed, yeah.
Be a wedding photographer for same-sex weddings or so forth like that. Yeah, culture has changed. So what is happening now is some of the new RFRAs or some of the amendments to the state RFRA are protecting specifically when you have a private actor coming against another private actor to do exactly the situation that you're talking about.
Wow. Well, you know, besides now we have Georgia, there's 29 other states that have these RFRA laws: Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Connecticut, Florida, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. So we still have a few more states that need to follow suit.
Yeah, we do have a few more states that need to follow suit as well. I drafted, along with my wife Anita, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in Florida in 1997. It was passed by the legislature, so we've been very actively involved in both the federal as well as state RFRAs. But we have 30 states now, which is a majority of states. We need other states as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that question that we were just talking about, does it apply when there's a private person against a private person? This came up in Indiana when then-Governor Mike Pence was governor of that state before he became selected as the VP in Donald Trump's first administration. And the issue was Indiana already had a RFRA, but there was a request to amend the RFRA so that it clearly applies to that very specific private versus private action.
Mm.
And there was a big controversy, and Democrats that typically have unanimously supported RFRAs, when it came to that issue, realized, oh, these RFRAs are going to be used to give religious freedom protection against coercion by the LGBTQ agenda.
Mm.
And they opposed it. And unfortunately, at that time, then Governor Mike Pence flinched and he did not stand strong on it. And that amendment did not pass in Indiana.
Well, here in Georgia, the RFRA specifically states, government shall not substantially burden a person's exercise of religion, even if the burden results from a rule of general applicability. The law goes on to stipulate that the government may only substantially burden the free exercise of religion if it demonstrates that the burden is the least restrictive means in furthering a compelling governmental interest.
Well, and the interesting thing is you see this one starts off as government shall not,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to applying it to an individual. However, there's also a question that even if a private person files suit against you to make a cake against your religious beliefs, where does that action take place and where is the enforcement? It's in the government machinery. The action takes place in a court, which is operated by the government. The enforcement would be from the court and the executive to enforce that particular ruling. And so I think you have a good argument, even in some of the RFRAs that don't specifically say private versus private, that when a private person accesses the government machinery to force their will on you, you can raise RFRA as a defense. The point is that religious freedom, however, is very precious.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason these RFRAs came into being, as I mentioned in the 1990s, is when the Hawaii Supreme Court issued a ruling sending a case back down to the lower court to address the question of whether Hawaii's equal protection law in their state constitution actually protects same-sex relationships. And that's when the first RFRAs began, and that's why the 1993 Religious Freedom Restoration Law was enacted. And then you had all these laws enacted across the country. And by the way, when you go back to look at the federal RFRA, the federal RFRA was virtually unanimously passed in 1993 by Democrats in the Senate and the House,
mm-hmm.
and signed into law by Bill Clinton. So it was a provision that was universally accepted by groups like Liberty Council supported it, groups like the American Civil Liberties supported it, people on other sides of the ideological divide, if you will, supported the idea that everyone should have religious freedom.
Right.
What changed among groups like the ACLU and Democrats in general is the rise of the LGBT agenda.
Right.
And then they said, oh, no, we don't want religious freedom in that context. And that right there is the main reason why now, among other things, we need religious freedom protection, because that is the tip of the spear.
Absolutely. And so these Democrats and ACLU and what you talked about, they see this as a threat.
Yeah, they see it as a threat to the LGBTQ agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back to the ACLU in the early 90s, the ACLU did things that we disagreed with, but they also had more of a stated principle on which they operated. That began to change when they brought onto their governing board an LGBT individual, and then they became more ideologically driven. And consequently, there has been a big shift in the ACLU, and that shift you've seen happen also in primarily the Democratic Party with regards to religious freedom. But religious freedom is something that is precious. It's really the foundation of our existence here in America.
And should always be nonpartisan.
Also, yeah, should be a nonpartisan issue. All states should have a state Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Mm-hmm. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.